it is time for another adventure with A Scott in the Dark. My name is Scott Swenson, and I am your host of A Scott in the Dark, and I am in my car. Dun-da-da-da! I am on my way to the Southeast Halloween Enthusiast Convention, and I am so excited for this show. And honestly, I am more than on my way. I'm actually here. I'm sitting out front, and I'm about to go in and check on how the setup is going. But I'm just very excited that this show has made a giant leap forward, and it's got some incredible people. Everyone from, who all's on the panel? Michael Roddy is here. Michael Burnett is here. Kyle Vest is here doing classes. Of course, I'm here. Ha ha ha. I'm kind of the hybrid between fanboy and professional. I don't know. And I'm okay with that, actually, because I think every professional haunter is a fanboy at some time or another. But I am so excited that I was invited to be here, and I'm on a panel, a theme park panel in the morning, and then in the afternoon I've got a class, and then hopefully I'll get a chance to talk to some folks as well about the show. And basically Bill Ramsey has put together what looks like it's going to be an incredible show, and I think it's going to really bump up the bar for haunt shows. And like I said, I'm just so excited to be here. And you know, it's funny because when I told people that I was going to do this, and as if you've been listening, you know that I'm going to spend much of July hopping around the country doing different shows, and I have more to add to that list, actually. It now extends into next year, but I'll do those cheap and merciless plugs later. Somebody asked me, why do you keep doing all of these shows? And, you know, because you're just kind of going everywhere, and obviously they weren't people who have ever been to any of the haunt shows, because they're just so darn much fun. But I said to them, I said, honestly, there's two reasons that I do it. It is, one of them is very, very selfish, and the other one is somewhat altruistic. Shows like this, and the reason I continue to perform and speak and attend, support, however you want to define it, is like I said, for two reasons. Number one, it is, and this is the selfish reason, it's a great way for me to get out there and meet people who might want to hire me as a consultant, as a writer, as a director, whatever. And in fact, I've gotten several gigs through doing shows like this. So, you know, that's my selfish reason. It's kind of like my marketing budget. You know, I don't buy ads per se, but I get out there and meet people, which works for me. I don't know whether it'd work for everybody, and I'm not sure it's the best, you know, the best way to get to a large group of people, but it's something I enjoy, you know. So I guess that's the one and a half reasons. You know, the half reason is because I think it's fun. But then there's also reason 2.5? I don't know. The next reason, we'll put it that way, that I do these things is because for so many years, people have shared their expertise with me, and it is just my pleasure and privilege to share back. And I don't want that to sound too kumbaya, because obviously, you know, it does help me promote who I am and what I do. But I really think it's important for people to get out there and, you know, if they have the ability to share what they do, do it, because it's better for the industry as a whole. And if you think that, you know, you're doing something that nobody else in the world is doing, I am 99% certain you're wrong. And so just get out there and help everybody. You know, we've all been helped along the way. And I think it's important to get out there and share those ideas, share that training. And as I mentioned on the Facebook group, actually it was my Facebook page, and then I shared it to the group, I'm here to see some old friends and hopefully make some new ones. So let's see what the show holds. Once again, I am here at Southeast Halloween Enthusiast Convention in Ocala, Florida. And it's I just think it's going to be the kickoff of a very, very successful run of shows year after year after year. So let's see what we find out as we make our way through the show. Okay, so when I went in, after I just finished, I went inside to the setup of the conference and walked around, talked to a whole bunch of people, got to see Dr. Bill Ramsey, who is the guy putting this all together, and they, of course, were running around like chickens with their heads cut off, getting ready for the festivities to start today. I had a chance to chat with Drew Badger a little bit from Big Scary Show, Scott Tater. That's so classy. I will edit that out. No, we won't. Got to talk to Scott Tater Lind from Froggy's Fog, as well as, I mean, phenomenal haunt actor. Lots of fun. And who else did I chat with yesterday? Leonard and Jeannie Pickle. Chatted with them for a little while. But anyway, everybody's kind of looking at it going, this is going to be a unique venue for an unusual show, and we're all curious to see what's going to happen today and how it's going to all come together. Again, you got a whole bunch of haunt people in one space, so how bad can it be? You know, it's always going to have some great merit. And I'm going to try to focus on that. I also got to spend time with Nick and Beverly Pappas, great haunt enthusiasts, have seen probably more haunted, well, definitely more haunted attractions than the majority of people alive today, certainly more than me. In fact, we went last night, because this is being recorded over the weekend, so last night was Friday the 13th, and we decided, well, it's Friday the 13th, we might as well go to a haunted house. So we, Beverly and Nick and Tater and I, hopped into a van and headed over to Orlando and experienced Mortem Manor, which is a year-round haunted attraction in Old Town in Kissimmee. And I tell you, it's an awful lot of fun. It's very animatronics heavy, a small actor cast, but the actors were very clever, very funny, kept us engaged. It's got some great ups and downs. The only thing I would suggest is it does have stairs, so if you have mobility issues, just be aware of that. But it's again, it's really neat. It's been several different haunts through the years, but right now it's Mortem Manor, so if you're in the Orlando area or in Kissimmee and get a chance to go check it out, go do so. For us, it was definitely worth the drive. We had about an hour and 15-minute drive each way. So it was very funny. We left. We drove there. We rode a new roller coaster there. So just because it was there at Fun Spot, and it was a wooden roller coaster that went upside down, which was very cool. But that could be a completely different show. And then we went to the haunt. We grabbed something to drink. We got back in the car and came back. I think the real joy about that, like it is with so many of the haunted attractions, is just sitting around and chatting. Or haunted attraction conventions, is sitting around and chatting with those folks who are in attendance. And just, you know, catching up, finding out who's doing what. It reinforces the idea that haunters really are a haunt family, and we look out for each other. But anyway, today I am off to the theme park panel. That is my first thing to do this morning, and then I'm teaching a seminar later in the day called Make It Cheap, which was actually based on one of our previous episodes here on A Scott in the Dark. So I was very excited. They had a cancellation and asked if I could step in and could I do this, do a class based on that. So it'll be really fun. The thing I'm most excited about in doing that class is it's the first time, in a very long time, other than maybe Spooky Empire or IAPA, where I've actually driven to a show to present. And what that means is I could bring a lot more junk. I didn't have to pack it all, cram it all in my suitcase to fly. I am going to have to do that for the next show, which is the one in Austin, Texas. But I'll do a whole nother podcast on that. We'll walk around Austin and continue to be weird and talk about that and how that
connects with the haunt industry, because that's at the League of Historic American Theaters convention, which is going to be pretty cool, I'm just saying. But anywho, it is... Oh, take a drink. For those of you who follow on Facebook, you know exactly what that means. But this is not the show where I am doing that. So if you are listening and you are playing the Scott in the Dark drinking game, that was a time to take a drink. That said, I'm going to get ready and head on over to the convention itself and hopefully get a chance to do a couple of interviews. Again, I never know. Sometimes people just don't want to talk to me, and that's cool. Actually, usually they want to talk to me, just not while I'm holding a recording device in their face. So, but I'm very excited because I've got a couple of friends who I haven't seen in a while who are supposed to be here, and maybe I can get them to talk. I don't know. We'll see. So let's see what the day holds here at CHEC, or the Southeastern Halloween Enthusiast Convention. Okay, so we just finished our panel, and I have this great opportunity, having shared a panel with such wonderful and exciting people, to get a quick, just a quick chat, quick interview here at the show. I am with Mercedes, who is the Senior Entertainment Manager at Legoland here in Florida. So you and I were kind of representing the, in this particular panel, representing the family-friendly side. And when it comes to Halloween, I think it's quite often a side that is, I won't say ignored, but somehow has a little bit of a, oh, you do the kids stuff. How do you feel about that? Because is it training for something later, or is it just part of the product mix? What is your opinion on the whole family side of Halloween?
I happen to love the family side of Halloween because we are marketed to a 2-12 park, so our product line and whatnot offers itself more accommodations to the little kids, so they're not terrified when they're 5 years old. They're not scared when they're 7 years old. And it starts to groom them to come into those larger Halloween events and the larger different products that are along the way up in Tampa or over in Orlando and whatnot. So I think that our product line is something that is very family friendly, something the family can do all together. And then the parents can go off later on and do their scary stuff.
Right. Well, and the nice thing too is Lego is so strongly branded to such a broad age demographic. I love the fact that you mentioned this in the panel, that you were focused on things that the families can do together. What are some of those examples that, you know, somebody who's listening might go, well, I'm not a Legoland. I don't have, you know, those resources or that years and years and years of phenomenal branding. What's the key to creating a family event that they can do together?
I think the key to it is that we are developing activities that the family can do together. So whether they do a build with the Lego brick together, and then we also have our rides and our attractions, which are kid-powered. So you can ride with your father, you can ride with your mother, and you are, as a child, you are the person powering that ride. So I think that that's something that kind of generates itself to be more family-friendly, something that you can do together.
Now, you also mentioned in the panel, and I think this is incredibly important, that the park is now putting more and more focus on being autism-friendly.
Yes.
How does that affect how does that affect the park in general? But specifically, how does it affect a Halloween event? Because let's face it, when people think of Halloween, they think of being scary and dressing up and changing our faces, and that doesn't necessarily jive with some of the kids who are on the spectrum. What efforts have been taken in order to address that?
I would say about 90% of our model citizens have been trained to be autism aware.
And can I tell you, by the way, that I love the fact that you call them model citizens? I think that is so cool. I'm sorry, I had to say that or I was going to forget it.
I've been a model citizen for 19 years. I was one of the first.
Excellent.
First in the States. But for the autism spectrum children, we do have 4 quiet rooms that are set with blankets, very dim lighting. There is some larger Lego brick in there for them to kind of start to mentally refocus and whatnot. They are in 4 different zones of the park, so that way when the kids are having a breakdown or a meltdown or they're having some situation, might not even be related to the event. It could just be related to how their day is going. Are they getting overheated? Whatever
sure.
it might be. And those rooms aren't just for our autism, family-friendly guests. So anybody can use those rooms if their child is as having.
How often have you said, I just need some quiet time and headed to one of those rooms?
Not very often. I usually just close my office door. People generally leave me alone at that point.
I could see myself like going, I just need a blanket and some quiet space, you know. We all have those days.
Yes, so they're all out, all the rooms are outfitted to be family friendly. And we do have families that pre-contact the park and say, I have a child that's on the spectrum. What can you accommodate for me? Are we going to have should I anticipate any issues? And we inform them that we are all trained to handle with their family and anything that they might have to deal with.
I think that is so important, and it's wonderful to hear such a major attraction like Legoland is focusing on that. I know it's becoming kind of a buzzword for other places, but you guys are really implementing some really wonderful stuff. So I think that's great. So a show like this.
Hmm?
How often do you go to these kinds of trade shows? Or is it just because Robbie LaPree called you on the phone and said, hey, come and do this panel?
Robbie LaPree called me on the phone.
It's, you know, so many things have happened that way.
Yeah. I've never been to one. I almost wasn't able to make it today, but we were able to pull some strings, move some people around, and I'm really glad that I was able to make it work out and come meet all these people, and it was a great panel to sit on with.
Well, and you were a great sort of calming voice of reason for all of us crazy, blood-soaked haunter.
And I'm the only one in pink.
Geeks. Well, you can say that is a statement, because what
so.
Is that, breast cancer support? That's what I'm supporting. Yes, as opposed to being like the rest of us who are all in various shades of black and
yes.
gray. Yeah, you can always tell a haunt convention because everyone has a black T-shirt.
Or a zombie.
Yes, or they're in full makeup.
Yes.
Well, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Just for my listeners, so because you know everybody who listens to a podcast. They all have kids, and most haunters have kids, and they love, I mean, who doesn't love Legos? Come on, to be honest. And when you combine Lego and Halloween, tell us a little bit about the event itself, when it starts, and how people can, you know, the best way for people to get tickets, to become either pass holders or whatever, how can they experience this great event?
I think the best thing to do would be to go to our website, which is legolandflorida.com, and look up the event page. The event starts the first weekend of October. It'll be every Saturday and Sunday in October, including Halloween, and the tickets are available. You can purchase them online, or you can purchase them at the gate, and we are open 10 to 8 p.m.
10 to 8 p.m. And you said the event, the changeover starts happening around what time?
About 3 o'clock.
About 3 o'clock. So it's basically like getting two parks in one.
Yes.
Well, you can't miss that, yeah. Can you? I want to go.
Two for the price of one.
Excellent. Well, guys, if you're listening, go ahead, let me know when you're going, and I'll go with you. All right? Thank you so much for taking the time to chat.
Thank you.
So, again, loved speaking on this panel because I got to talk to a bunch of cool people. So, here I am now with Dylan, who is from Universal. Halloween Horror Nights, like, what did you say, 365 days a year?
Yeah, basically 365.
Are you jealous? Are you jealous, folks who are listening? Because I know I am. Although, I don't know that I could stay focused on one project like that anymore. I've become too ADD as I've become a consultant. So what is your official title with Universal Studios?
So I'm an associate designer in the art and design department. So, yeah, basically what that means is I do it all. Anything that they ask me, whether it's construction drawings, scenic drawings, graphics, any need that might come up, I'll help and assist with.
So I understand, I mean, okay, we just had this great conversation that, of course, I was stupid enough not to have my phone ready to record it. But you were talking that you kind of got started in this industry by attending conventions and shows sort of kind of like this one. I mean, you mentioned Entertainment Designers Forum, right?
Yes, definitely. I grew up being just a fan of Halloween events. And when I became to a level where I knew I loved it so much that that's a career path that I wanted to do, I went and I sought out any means of trying to get there. And then I discovered the Entertainment Designers Forum and the panels that happened on there every year. And then I checked out, you know, different haunt panels that were in the conventions, and just any opportunity I had, I would take that.
So if there's one thing, what was the in that path, you know, going from super fan to now creating things that other super fans can enjoy, was there one thing that you said, I didn't expect this to help me this much, but it did? I mean, obviously the Designers Forum was a huge thing, but was there something you kind of stumbled on, a happy accident that lifted you to the next level, gave you either a tool that you needed or insight, anything like that?
Yeah, it's, I have a really, just knowing the history of, like, say, Halloween Horror Nights and what happened each year, like, what houses were this year and what scare zones were this year, and just remembering and knowing, like, all that those fun facts and that history, it's like, to the average person, like, that's just, okay, that's fun. But it really does help me, because I've become the walking archive in the office. Whereas if we're doing something or they need reference for 1 year, they'll just go, hey, Dylan, what year was that? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that was, like, 2008. That was 2013, we did that. And so they'll just come to me, and we have an archive room, but they like to skip walking upstairs and just...
It's funny because there are listeners for this podcast who do the exact same thing for me, and you know who you are. I'm not even going to say your names, but you know who you are. Thank God Alex Crow was here in the audience today, because he did the exact same thing. I can't remember. They all kind of blend together year after year. So that is incredible. That's an incredible resource, actually, for the Universal team.
Yeah.
Because they've got somebody who they can call back and go, oh, yeah, that was this, and we did this and that and this. And I can't tell you how many times I've been presenting at shows and somebody will say, Scott, you have the wrong year. It's like, oh, sorry. But again, I think what that does is it fuels the passion, so you can improve yourself to get the job that you want.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, I can't tell you how many times people come up and ask, how do I get into this industry? And you are living proof as to how to get into this industry.
Yeah.
What would you, say there's a listener out there who's in high school who's like, I like to draw, and I like to do haunted stuff, but I want to do it all the time. What can they do to be better prepped to replace you when you get promoted?
Yeah, I think if you really have a passion for the haunt industry or for anything, I would say just don't stop producing work for that passion. You're not employed at the dream job that you want, but that doesn't mean you don't have to stop, you know, drawing things that are for that place. When I was in high school, I used to design mazes for Halloween Horror Nights in my house. I used to just draw SketchUp models for haunted houses, and just, I had all these ideas, and I just made them, and I have, like, them all saved on my computer. I never stopped, like, doing that. It was like, it doesn't have to be produced in order for you to still learn from that experience and do the next thing, because you're just going to improve your skills. So my advice would just be, just don't stop. Like, if you're really passionate about it, just even though maybe some things might not work out or whatnot, just always just keep doing your passion. Keep designing haunted houses if that's what you're into. And then maybe one day when you're presented with this opportunity, you have this whole backlog of things that you worked on that you can then show them. Because that's what happened to me. I went in and when I did an interview for when I was an intern at Universal, and I just showed all of my past haunted houses and things that I had been designing. They weren't professional or anything. I hadn't been in the industry at that point. But they were something that I could take, and I did this in SketchUp, and I have this skill. And so it's just using that to develop your skills, and just don't stop. Just, that's really what you're passionate about. Just go for it.
I love hearing just don't stop. I mean, you may not be doing it. You may not be doing it in the dream job, but just because you're not, it's not your official title or it's not what you're getting paid to do, doesn't mean that you stop doing it.
Yeah.
And you know, having been on the other side of the table for so many years, hiring people like yourself, I always looked for that kind of thing too. It's like, here's somebody who's doing the job. I just want to find a way to compensate them for it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to train you to do the job. You know how to do that.
Yeah.
So I think that's great. And you know, you are... Have you hit your dream job, or what's the next level for you?
Yeah, it's funny because my dream was to work on Halloween Horror Nights, and I've
check.
I've been so thankful to be able to have been doing that now for over 5 years, and it was a dream just to be in the door. And so the next level is just, you know, where do I go from here?
Sure.
And it's just developing the skills I have now and just being excited about what's to come. Like, I'm excited about this year. I'm excited to see people experiencing something that I had a hand in creating, and it's just being excited for what's to come and what new things I get to learn. Because every day I learn something new, and I love taking on that knowledge. And that's what's exciting about being in the haunt industry specifically, is there's so many things to learn and to absorb. So it's been very rewarding.
I am so thrilled to see someone or to hear someone say, where do you want to go from here? And it's not based on, well, I want this position by the time I'm this age or this position by the time I'm this age. It's all about making yourself better. And I promise you that is going to work to your advantage. And anyone who listens and takes that to heart, because it's the only thing you take from any job to any other job is not your resume, it's your integrity and your skill set. And it sounds like you are... You want to hire me? I'll work for you any time of the any day of the week. So anyway, thank you so much for taking the time and sharing your story, because it's fascinating. It's something that a lot of my listeners have asked about, and I don't have an answer because I stumbled into it. You know, I was lucky. Yeah. You had a plan, you followed it, and you made it work.
Yeah, it's very unique because you hear people on panels all the time that are in these positions, and they just kind of fell into it. A lot of the people that I work with, that's what happened. They were in the industry that they just kind of worked their way into haunted houses and haunts, which they, you know, they never really sought out to do that job. Whereas for me, I knew that's what I wanted to do, and I sought out to do that specific job.
Very cool. Well, thank you so very much, Dylan. And is there anything you want to say about Universal Horror Nights that's coming up this year? I'm not asking for any spoilers. What's the thing that has been announced that you're most excited about?
The thing that's been announced, I don't know. I can't pick one because it's all so exciting. And I just get so excited just thinking about when the event's going to open. And my favorite day of the year, I think, is opening night, just to see the guests finally experiencing it and it. All cylinders being fired and going and everything. So there are so many exciting things that I just thinking about it. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see that. And I can't wait to see that. I have dreams all the time where I'm like walking through the event and everything's running and people are experiencing it. And like, I wake up like, oh man, why can't it just be September? Then I'm like, because I can't wait for other people to see it.
September, when SketchUp becomes real.
Yes.
That's pretty much it, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's very cool. Well, once again, thank you so very much for taking just a few minutes to chat with me, and I'm looking forward to HHN this year.
Oh, yes, thank you. It's nice chatting with you.
Okay, so I mentioned earlier that I was going to get a chance to see some old friends and a chance to make new ones. I mentioned that in the opening, and lo and behold, in a very dramatic entrance at the first panel, one of my dearest, one of the most wonderful people on the planet just kind of popped in, and both Ben DeWitt and I just ran over and grabbed him and hugged him, and it's Alex Crowe.
Hello.
I know a lot of you guys know Alex. A lot of the listeners know Alex and know how much how important he is to me as a person, and how brilliant he is, and how wonderful he is to work with. And I don't even know what we're going to talk about, but I just think I think I had to get you on the show. Because everybody's like, why don't you and Alex do something together?
Well, I mean, eventually we're going to get together and actually talk shop, for lack of a better term.
Yes.
But, I mean, Scott's so busy in his world right now and in independent contracting, and I'm very busy in my world with the Carnival and the cruise line world.
So just so people know, what is your official title with Carnival now? It's not a haunt thing, but that's okay.
It's not a haunt thing. I'm currently the manager of guest entertainment for Carnival Cruise Line, which basically means for the fleet of 26 ships, I manage and book all of the comedians you see on board and any variety acts, be it magicians, jugglers, weird random artists that do... weird things on stage. I mean,
there's an ad. There's the next Carnival ad. Come board the Carnival Paradise and see a weird random artist who does things on stage.
Well, there's an artist we have named John Cassie to kind of frame this, and he is a balloon comedian. Have you ever heard that term before?
Honestly, I have.
Okay.
And that's what frightens me.
But he does this wonderful show where he makes balloon animals out of small balloons, big balloons, weird-shaped balloons, and it's this great family show, and it's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. It's hilarious, but it's not normal. So that's what I mean when I'm like, so anything that's weird on a ship that's not like a regular standard theater show comes through my desk.
Gotcha. So you're the guy who books the weird acts.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And I guess comedians would all proudly say they're weird in some way.
Most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and improv performers would do the same thing.
Right.
You know, again... hinting back to Alex's background, we haven't done a whole lot of wit shows recently.
No, again, just the busy style of our careers right now.
Yeah, and, well, and of course,
and life,
and of course,
distance.
Jill is incredibly pregnant right now too. So
incredibly pregnant, and still incredibly busy with Tampa Theater.
Absolutely,
it's the entire wit team is spread thin. Yeah. Eventually that string will rebound back and we'll all get back together and put some shows back
I think what we need to do is we need to do a reunion tour.
Oh, agreed.
I think we need to do a reunion tour. And I'll tell you what, why don't we do a reunion tour on a carnival ship and then we could all just stumble into the karaoke lounge one night and do an entire show and blow people out of the water.
I would love that. We'll have to find cabin space.
Yes, exactly. We have to find a way to make that
It'll
happen.
It'll be a wit cast of one.
Yeah. Either that or we are all remarkably cuddly in one cabin.
How great would that picture be for like wit promotion?
Though? Oh, yeah.
All six of us in a bunk bed cabin on a cruise ship.
I think we have a new promo shot.
Right.
I think that's
where it's Seth's be. Hand.
That tickles more than it should.
Is that a comment on my comment or a caption for the photo?
No, it was a yes and. I don't know. It was a yes and. I have no idea. Boy, have we learned. This is what, when we sit down and talk shop, this is exactly what the entire episode is going to be.
Anywho. By the way, everybody that posted about that being a drinking game, I think it's brilliant. And good luck. That's one 30-minute podcast from you.
And you're hammered.
You probably have to
absolutely hammered.
Empty the bar.
Yeah. you're hammered. What was, it was anywho, anytime you hear Lucy bark, and what was the other one? There was one other one, and I can't remember what it was.
I'm not sure. A new one could be when you say, you can also see this on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I always said you have to take a shot when I do a shameless plug for something else that I'm doing.
Right.
You know, I'm gonna be in Austin, Texas, and people completely smashed. Completely smashed.
Maybe you could, since you know what they're drinking to, tie a drink to that spot since you're going to Austin.
Oh, yeah, great. What I'll do is I'll
every time I say I'm plugging Austin, you have to drink this, which is a very specific drink for Austin. Like, what is a drink they only have in Texas?
In Texas, I don't know.
There's got to be something. There's got to be an Austin brewery or something that you can pull
sure, up. Absolutely. That would.
And then that way you could get free. Never mind. We're on tangent.
You're already sort of monetizing this whole. I haven't even gotten on Patreon yet, and you're monetizing my podcast. I love it. See, this is why we love to work together, because it's so such a yes and thing. But anyway, getting back to the CHEC. SEHEC.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So why did you decide to come to the show? Because I don't see you at shows very often because you're not really part of... I mean, you are in your heart. You're not really part of the... But you're not professionally part of the haunt industry anymore. Why did you decide to come to this show?
Well, the beauty of these smaller conventions is they're popping up kind of all over the place, which allows for somebody like me where the big haunt conventions, say take a Trans World, take a Midwest Haunters Convention... They're so far away from where I'm at in Miami, mm-hmm. It's not easy to get to. So the Southeastern Haunt Enthusiast Convention is in Ocala, which is kind of off the beaten path, but mm-hmm. happens to be local to me and local to a lot of people that are attending the show as well. So the reason I came to this is, one, the passion, and I miss this world, but also the ease of it being in a location that was easy to get to and kind of see where the industry's at now and, you know, kind of... check the pulse and see, you know, is there new stuff coming out? Is there something to ignite my passion again?
Sure.
And try to get back into this world? But I think it's a smaller convention. It's more intimate, too.
Yeah.
You can have conversations with wonderful people like Scott. And I've sat and talked to Robbie today and Dylan from Universal and Mercedes from Legoland. Like, in a larger convention, I don't know if the time that was allotted in those conversations is available.
Right.
So that's why smaller conventions are something I like to go to.
That's excellent. You know, actually, a convention that you would enjoy is Midsummer Scream in L.A., or in Long Beach. It's sort of half fan show, half haunter show. And they actually, in their dark zone, they actually put together local haunts, and by local I mean West Coast haunts, mm-hmm. Will come in and bring like two or three rooms of their attraction and set them up in the convention center for you to experience.
Oh, that's neat.
You should see the look on his face. He looked like a 5-year-old. What?
the reason for that, Scott, is on cruise ships, they are starting to see Halloween and haunt as a big viable market to get into.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge on a cruise ship is, you know, you've got itineraries that are 4, 5, 6, 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get in there and really install a haunted house like you would in a theme park. Or,
right.
Or you know, you can't run it for a month as you would otherwise. There's staffing challenges, blah, blah, blah. But the idea that you just said where you could kind of pop up a couple rooms here makes me go, how can we make that happen on the ship?
Sure.
How could we create the haunt experience? Because right now we're doing very family-friendly, but how could we give something to that that older demographic that may want something a little bit scarier.
Well, what if you do a staged seance that's either an upcharge or a reservation kind of event that ties into culinary, that ties into, so that you can have, I mean, you've got great chefs on ships.
Right.
You've got great chefs on ships, you've got merchandise opportunities, and you have venues. So, you know, if you did a theatrical style, immersive theater piece, in essence, that was very Halloween-based, that's something that I think you'll probably do. But once again, what people don't seem to recognize, and the only reason I know this is I've worked on a couple of cruise lines. Well, I've worked on one cruise line and been on a lot of carnival ships, actually. And what people don't understand is that what we were talking about earlier with Wit is that cabin space.
Yeah.
You are living in a finite world.
Right.
And you realize that every cabin you take away to house somebody who is presenting is actually taking money out of the pockets of the cruise line, because it means it's one you can't necessarily sell to guests and passengers. So I totally get that. But
I just have this mental image now of, like, we could actually get our money back on it. Like, say we hire Scott to be a speaker on our show, but with all you fans be like, who wants to pay to be in his cabin with him for that voyage? I'm pretty sure there's, like, at least 10 people that would probably jump at that, and all of a sudden I've gotten Scott on board free to do a lecture on something.
That's okay, so let's get this going. Start commenting on the Facebook page, on the Facebook group, saying, yes, Alex, I would share Scott's room. and the folks in Carnival Marketing just went, what? What? No, we can't do that. No,
that's a diamond.
That's Oh, Lord.
So back to your original question. These smaller conventions are
great.
Wait,
you're getting me back on track? The world has changed.
One of us has
to. You are
to.
So corporate. I love it.
But no, I mean, these smaller things, and again, there is a passion in me to get back into this industry down the line, and hopefully my career takes me that route. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to come in rusty. So that's why I like to go to these conventions, and the smaller ones are very easy to have the conversations where I can ask the questions I want, as opposed to buying for time.
Sure. So you sat in on the panel here, and you honestly could have been sitting up there with us, because you have just as much experience in theme park as pretty much all of us up there. What do you think the audience who is watching this panel, which was predominantly theme park folks, all theme park folks, actually, what do you think the audience was able to take away from what happened in that panel?
Watching the reactions of the audience, when you guys all started on the panel speaking about kind of the simple ways to achieve these things, everybody thinks it's expensive, everybody thinks you can't do it, but then you were throwing out these little ideas. I think Ben threw out the idea of the leaf blower thing. You threw out the idea of the Airzooka, and there was something else you threw out, and the flashlights in fog.
Mm-hmm.
You could see people kind of light up and go, oh my God, that's a great, easy way to do that. Where some people think things are much more difficult than they are.
Sure.
I kind of live and operate by the KISS motto, which is
keep it simple, stupid. Yep.
And it was interesting to see people kind of light up when you guys started speaking about how simple it is to actually achieve these things that they've thought.
Sure.
Is huge.
Sure.
And so that was one of the takeaways I think they took, is that, you know, don't overthink it. Creativity comes out of not being able to just buy it outright, right? So you get to kind of find a way to do it, and you gave some doors opened some doors for them to think about ways to do that. And I think the other thing that they really took away from it...
You guys are having so much fun.
We are. We're having too much fun.
The other thing they took away from it, I believe, is kind of the idea that it's a haunt family. You always push this, but I think the whole panel kind of backed it up as well. And Ben really hit it on the head when he spoke about, you know, competition is good. We're all in it together. You said, you know, when the tide rises, all ships rise. But it's that idea of, like, we're all in this together,
mm-hmm.
and share those ideas, which I kind of think there's a lot of people, especially coming up in the haunt industry, when they're starting up, they want to be proprietary. They want to do something that's never been done, whereas they'd actually be more successful kind of leaning on the fact that kind of everything's already been done.
Mm-hmm.
But now find a creative way to tell the story with that element.
Right.
You know,
right. So. Well, and you and I have always been the storytellers. I mean, we've always been, let's focus on the story first, because that's the cool part.
Right.
There are people who approach haunting of, let's worry about the, or let's look, not worry, let's look at the set first, because that's the cool part, or let's look at the gimmick first, because that's the cool part. But you and I have always been story guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you can tell a story whether you have a zillion-dollar budget or a $5 budget. You know, I had one haunter at one of the other shows come up to me and say, you give me three good actors, a dark room, and a candle, and I can scare the crap out of you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true. You know, maybe that's the Carnival that's Cruise the Line. Ship. That's the cruise ship. We'll call it Three People in a Candle.
Sure. It's a,
yeah, we're all biting our tongues right now, we so we don't say anything inappropriate. Involved. Yep. But it's Halloween, so there's always blood involved.
Exactly.
It makes it creepy that way. Well, I got to tell you, I am just personally so glad to see you. And I know that there are people who are listening who are going, thank God, he finally got Alex on the show. Because I talk to so many people who say, so when are you and Alex getting back together to work together? Because we were kind of like the dynamic duo
I would tell you what my wife calls you and I.
But I'm afraid because I know your wife.
It's a little sacrilegious, so I'm not going to say it here. But I will share it with Scott, and if down the line he wants to share it.
I know what it is.
We'll go from there.
But first of all, everybody who does not know Alex Crowe, first you should. And those of you who do, you know that he has a beautiful wife and an absolutely adorable baby who I still haven't met but have seen gorgeous pictures of. And this is not the last time Alex is on the show. So we're going to find a time where if I have to drive to Miami to just make it happen, I'm going to go. But thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us, because I just realized that, you know, this is supposed to be like a 5-minute thing and we're at like 15.
We're going to edit this into three shows.
And what's really funny
is... Here's another 5-minute chunk with Scott and Alex.
You heard one of the attendees of this show walk by and go, you guys are just having way too much fun. Because we are just, in no lie, sitting in the middle of the show and laughing and chatting nobody else is here.
there's some people you will meet in your life, and I hope all of you have somebody like this that... It can be a week, it can be a year, it can be an eon,
a millennia. we can be frozen, and then...
And you get in the same room, and it's not like a day has passed, right. And the ideas start rolling again, and the humor starts rolling, and that's Scott for me, so...
Yeah, absolutely. It is a friendship. It is a friendship that transcends definition, really. It's sort of like having... a muse, a best friend, a sibling, a parent, a child, and... I'm not always the parent, by the way. I'm just pointing that out. Okay, yeah, I am usually.
Which makes it awkward because we've kissed on stage. He's going to edit that part out.
No, I'm not. And we're just going to end it with that, with me kissing him again. Mwah! Okay. So here I am in the car once again. The Southeastern Halloween Enthusiast Convention is still going on as I'm recording this. However, I had to leave. So I am on the road. I don't know, what am I saying? I'm heading home, is what it boils down to. And I am really glad I was able to help out Bill Ramsey and the whole team that's involved with the SEHEC. It was a really fun little festival. I had the opportunity to see some of my comrades and cohorts throughout my career. In the theme park panel, and then the special guest surprise of Alex Crowe, and I do have to start right off the bat by saying I send out apologies to Ben DeWitt. He was busy, then I was busy, then he was busy, and I didn't get a chance to interview him, but since we both live in Tampa, chances are good that we're just going to have lunch sometime in the near future, and we'll record an interview then so you can hear what's going on with all the wonderful stuff that's happening in the new generation of Hollow Scream and what's coming up in the near future for that event. Ben's a phenomenal guy, and it's really good to see him again and get to share the panel with him. But like I said, I've now made it public. So Ben, if you are listening, or if anybody who knows Ben is listening, we don't have an excuse. And the reason I say that is we saw each other at the Transworld show and said, hey, we should do lunch while we're here in St. Louis, even though we live in the same city. So why don't we ever do that when we're both in the same city? Well, now I've made an online commitment that we will indeed get together, have lunch, and talk a little bit about what's up in your life. And then we'll turn on the recorder and talk a little bit about Hollow Scream. So that will be coming up. Not sure when, but... You know how good my scheduling is, those of you who listen. So,
But overall, I think the show was a lot of fun. It was great to see Robbie again. Robbie LaPree was there, and she was, again, running around like a chicken with her head cut off, making sure that everything was put together correctly. And the show, although it was very small, and in a rather unique setting, it was more like an office setting, a communal office setting that had a big conference room in the middle. But they carved it up with temporary walls, and there were several different booths and vendors there. It is definitely a show that targets the home haunter and the smaller independent haunt. But that's okay. I mean, it's fine to have shows that do that. You know, it's hard to create a show that is all things to all people. I do hope that everything continues, and I hope the show happens again next year, for very selfish reasons, because it's within driving distance, and that makes it fun. It's also a great excuse to see some of the folks that, like I said, haven't seen in a while. So I would like to thank everyone involved with SEHEC, especially Bill Ramsey, for inviting me and having me there and allowing me to not only sit on a panel with some really cool people, but also to teach a class. And thanks to my friends from Universal, and thanks to my friends from Legoland, and, you know, it was so neat to reconnect. So now, like I said, I'm driving home, and I will do laundry, repack my suitcase, and head off to Austin, Texas, for the League of Historic American Theaters Association show. It is a trade show that happens in different locations around the country. Last time I went to this show was in New York City, which was super cool because I got to get on stage at several Broadway houses, got behind-the-scenes tours at all these different theaters. This one is in Austin, Texas, and I will be team-teaching a seminar on how to monetize your ghost stories. So in other words, how to bring history to life in historic spaces. And I'm team teaching that with Jill Witecki, who is, again, another one of my absolute favorite people. And she is the marketing director for the Tampa Theater in Tampa, obviously. Because if you had a Tampa Theater in, you know, Oswego, it wouldn't make any sense at all. But so that's the next show I'm off to. And I will try to do a show from there. It'll be a little bit more difficult and a little bit less haunt specific, but I think there are going to be some cool people there that I can get some interviews with. We will see. Keep your fingers crossed, and maybe that will be the next episode that comes up in rotation as you're, you know, because I know all the people who I just met at SEHEC who have not been listening to A Scott in the Dark are now going to be, you know, members and listeners and will be binge listening even as we speak. Or maybe not. But either way, it was great to meet you guys, and I really do appreciate it. Once again, I encourage you, if you have not already, please join the Facebook group. It is a private group, so just say that you want to join, and one of us will say, come on in and chat. If there's anything that you heard in this episode that you think is of interest or would like more detail on, that's a great way to let me know your thoughts. Plus, we can also get everybody else to chime in on that Facebook page. What I'm really trying to do there is, like I've said, create a community that kind of exists in conjunction with, but also kind of separately from the show. Something that enhances, reinforces, and makes us all feel better about this crazy world, this crazy life that we lead. So go to Facebook, search A Scott in the Dark, and you can find us there. Also, you know, if those of you who are listening to us on the Haunted Attractions Network, thank you for doing so. There's a bunch of great podcasts, and mine is by far the sloppiest. But it's fun. You got to admit, it's fun. We always have a good time. I mean, how many podcasts do you know where two grown men can just laugh like children while they're sitting in the middle of a haunted attraction conference? There aren't many. There really just aren't many. If you're listening to me on iTunes, or if you're listening to me through Podomatic, thank you. However you listen to me, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Just so you know, I will also be posting a little tiny video from the show. I'm going to have to edit it together, but I'll be posting that on the show, on my YouTube channel as well, from SEHEC. And
so you can get some visuals to go along with all the goofiness that we've been talking about. I am done rambling, so until next time, rest in peace.